Muslims also face questions regarding the relationship of the Islamic world to the West. Christian-Muslim relations are often seen by non-Muslims through the stereotype of jihad and extremism. In contrast, many Muslims see too often in history a militant Judeo-Christian tradition epitomized by the Crusades, Inquisition, European colonialism, Zionism, and what many call American neocolonialism. So as you can see, at times there can be rather sharp and contrasting images of the other. But the fact is, and I should point out it, that there are many Muslims and non-Muslims alike who cross those boundaries, who blur that distinction, and can see the acts of militancy of the past, not only in the other, but within their own tradition and within their own heritage. And indeed, that is the challenge that we face in the 21st century, in an era of globalization. To have that level of self-criticism, and if you will, that level of a global, pluralist, self-critical worldview. Critics of the United States' actions in the Muslim world condemn support for authoritarian Arab and Muslim regimes during the Cold War and the post-Cold War, and continuing down to the present. Support by America and Europe, they would charge. Support today for Russia's occupation of Chechnya and its cleansing of Chechnya. And of what many in the Arab and Muslim world charge is a bias or a tilt towards Israel and the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and towards India and Indian rule over a Muslim-majority population in Kashmir and the current conflict in Kashmir. Such perceptions often lead both sides to perceive an impending clash of civilizations. And indeed, many of us can recall, not only before, but certainly after 9/11, many, when they asked the question why, it's us and them. They're against everything we stand for. Or they simply hate us. Not that there may be causes for the spawning of terrorism, not to excuse terrorism, but those things that develop terrorism, but rather almost a blind clash of civilizations. In recent years, the questions of Islam and the West are joined to those of Islam in the West. Many issues are related to Muslim assimilation in non-Muslim countries. What does it mean to live in a country where Islamic law plays no role? American Muslims, European Muslims have to face this. How do Muslims cope with living in a secular America or Europe that recognizes Christian and Jewish holidays or holy days and customs, but has often been hesitant to accommodate Muslim Friday prayer, holy days, or the custom of women's headscarves? Muslims have struggled to open mosques and schools, as well as faced harassment and hate crimes. And this is particularly increased post 9/11. As we sit here in this part of the 21st century, it is very difficult because we are, on the one hand, looking at Islam, a global religion, the way in which we look at Judaism and Christianity, as we are in this course, or Hinduism and Buddhism. But many of us who are non-Muslims continue, until we learn more about what Islam and mainstream Islam and the vast majority of Muslims believe and stand for, we will continue to view Islam and Muslims through the lens of radicalism. I recently did an online chat on a Muslim site. And I had questions from Muslims all over the world. But suddenly I had a question from someone in the United States, a non-Muslim, who simply said, why are you in this conversation with all these terrorists? There was nothing in the nature of the conversation, the questions, answers, that was advocating violence or terror, etc. It was a sweeping assertion. And I and others have seen these kinds of statements in the media. Many of you have seen statements made, regrettably, by some of our religious leaders, fortunately denounced by most, but people like Pat Robertson and Franklin Graham using phrases like Islam is evil, not extremists are evil, not drawing a line between extremists and mainstream, the very line they would want drawn when it comes to Christianity. Muslims face the 21st century in their original homelands, that is, in Muslim countries, or in Europe and America, in a context in which finding answers within historical tradition is a time-honored strategy. As we shall see, like many other faiths, the tension between change and continuity with long-held traditions often produces a struggle and a conflict between conservatives or traditionalists and reformers. Like the Reformation and Counter-Reformation, with its struggle between Protestants and Catholics, the struggle for the soul of Islam today is not only one of lively and contentious theological debate, but regrettably can also spill over into violence and bloodshed. As we turn to the heart of this course, we will seek to understand the faith and history of Islam, its ideals and realities, the inspiration and guidance that so many Muslims have found in their Islamic faith across time and space. At the same time, we will want to examine the challenges and diverse responses of Muslims to life in the 20th and now the 21st centuries. Thus, we shall address basic questions. What are the basic beliefs and practices that unify all Muslims? Who was the Prophet Muhammad, and what is the Quran? Why and how do they continue to be so influential in Muslim faith and life? How did the Muslim community grow and develop? What was the relationship of religion to politics and society? Why are Islamic law and mysticism so important for an understanding of Islam? How has religion affected Muslim women and the family, past and present? What is Islamic revivalism or fundamentalism? How have Muslims responded to modernity? What are the challenges that Islam and Muslims face in the 21st century?